support comes from Tub Cove. With over 49 years of remodeling bathrooms, Tub Cove can help simplify the process, offering tub and shower replacements and full bathroom remodels. Local and family-owned, with a showroom in Redmond. Designs and information at tubcove.com.
You're listening to Soundside. I'm Libby Dankman, and I'm in downtown Seattle to meet Shin Yi Pai.
So we're stepping into the Seattle Municipal Tower Gallery that's just outside the Tower Building.
Shin Yi, along with being the host of KUOW's 10,000 Things, is the Seattle Civic Poet, sort of like the Poet Laureate for the city. And she's invited me down to the Seattle Municipal Tower to look at a poem.
We're inside the gallery, and installed in the gallery is a poem that the poet Brian Wilson, who works at Bureau of Fearless Ideas, sent to me for this public poetry campaign that was about sustainability and place.
Yeah, it's just one poem, but it's a big one. Wide sheets of paper hang over wooden dowels high from the ceiling, and the poem is actually in the negative space. The words are cut out of the paper in big block letters. The work is called Atmospheric River by Brian Wilson, and it's one of the poems Shin Yi selected to be part of her latest project called Poetry in Place.
He specifically sent me a poem that was about atmospheric rivers and the kind of weather patterns that we experience here in Seattle that are very wet and damp. And so we're looking at excerpts of his poem that have been printed out on architectural plotter paper and then hand cut and suspended on dowels so that the banners of paper are cascading, you know, very vertical and evocative of rain, rivers, and...
Is that the idea behind the display, sort of reflecting atmospheric river, reflecting a water feel?
Absolutely. Rain, yeah. Water, yeah. Currents.
Shin Yi worked with designer Jamie Yen to display poems written by Seattle residents around town through the end of April. Sites include the Wanawari Art Space in the Central District, the Downtown Library, and a storefront in Belltown.
Out of 51 entries, I ended up picking five different poems that were very specific to different places in the city. I got a poem that was about the Seattle Public Library, one that was about displacement in the Central District, one that was about urban beekeeping, and one that was related to Little Saigon. So each of those poems is very place-specific, and so there was a lot of thought that went into how to display those with partners in the community.
I asked Shin Yi to read the poem displayed in the Municipal Tower, Atmospheric River, by Brian Wilson.
In a city where rivers float in the sky, braiding through cedars and buildings, like a sentence in a poem, rivers rise as raindrops. A city, heron still, staring into sound, stones polishing words, storm galoshing songs. Before long, river rain makes watercolors of us, gathers in its clay-blue turbidity, vanishing sunbreaks and glaciers, the neighborhood breakfast spot, beaver's lodge packed with wildflowers, stinging green of spring nettles, eddies of garlic in a small kitchen full of laughter, tumbling sediment of dreams, fictions, and fishes. Sometimes I'm a stone, mossy, sometimes awash in whirling passage. Sometimes on a ferry full of passengers, we greet the water that connects us in torrents of riverine imagination. And that's Brian Wilson's poem.
It's beautiful. How did these poems come to the display? Like, what stood out to you about these particular works?
Yeah, I got a lot of generic poems about, like, trees, coastlines, and, like, being in nature. And I think the ones that really caught my attention were specific to, like, neighborhoods or species and really spoke to me in a much more deeper way, in that they had this connection to place that went beyond kind of the generic.
You know, this is poetry that's displayed for people who, you know, most of the people consuming it will be kind of rushing by. They'll be on a commute mm-hmm. somewhere. It's public art, right? So
yes.
It's for all kinds of people who are using the public space. I'm curious how you want them to react to it. Like, what's your ideal reaction to this work that we're sitting amongst, or, you know, any of the works that are scattered across the city?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like poetry has this power to give pleasure and to delight and to slow down the mind and the emotions, the heart. And so, like, for instance, when I think about, you know, an installation like What's at Slide Gallery, it was designed so that if somebody is driving by in a car, they'll get like the quick take of the poem. But if you're walking by on the sidewalk, you'll see, you know, if you slow down, you can read the entire poem in its entirety. And so there are these different ways in which you can have that experience. And so if somebody is like driving by and then they're parking and, you know, they're really curious about what was that? You know, like I love the idea of somebody going back to that site to kind of take a closer look and to see what that was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it rewards.
It rewards.
A closer look. It rewards a quick glance because it looks cool as you're passing. And then
yes.
If you take that moment to slow yourself down and
exactly.
Take a look, look a little deeper, it
yeah.
Rewards that even more.
Yes. And I think the other reward that comes is that, like, each of these sites is one of seven other sites in the city. Many of them will have the map of what those sites are. So, for instance, if somebody wanted to, like, walk around and see, like, five of the sites that are downtown, they would be able to do that in kind of like a little self-guided tour kind of thing. And then there are two sites that are a little further afield, one at the South Park Library and the other at Bureau of Fearless Ideas in Greenwood.
What are the challenges to displaying poems visually?
What are the challenges? I'm not sure I know how to answer that question.
I think along the lines of, like, you know, you're at a museum
mm-hmm.
and you slow down, maybe something grabs your attention.
Yeah.
And then you slow down and you sort of read maybe the descriptor next to it, and then you learn more.
Yeah.
But you need that first grab, right?
You
need that first thing that draws you in. Was the challenge just to have that pop of visual interest that will get the person to slow down?
I think, you know, the kind of inspiration for the visuals came directly out of the poem. So in this case, what we're looking at, there was a lot of water, rivers, rain, verticality. There's a poem that's installed at the Seattle Public Library that was really inspired by this young poet's remembrances and memories of being like a young adolescent and teen going to the Seattle Public Libraries. And so my designer, Jamie, what she created was a kind of like a standing banner of a poem that could then like evoke like a bookmark. Yeah, so I would often kind of handpick lines that could then be extracted, almost like a pull quote from the poem that could be like the place where the inspiration might kind of launch from mm-hmm. to create first the language that's extracted and then figuring out how to kind of highlight something visual about it. And typography is actually really incredibly important about these poems. The poem that is at the site of Friends of Little Saigon in Little Saigon, Jamie picked a typeface designer who is Vietnamese, and they created a font that works really well with the Vietnamese language. So when we received this poem from Bryna Antonio Cortez, it was just a poem that was in English, and then Jamie found the typeface she wanted to use, and she happened to say to me, this typeface looks really good with Vietnamese. And I said, well, do you want me to ask her if maybe we could translate the poem? She was like, yeah, that sounds like a great idea. So I thought about, okay, we could, you know, look into our network and see if there's somebody at Friends of Little Saigon or a translation agency, or, and we can figure out somebody to translate the poem. Went back to Bryna to ask her permission, and Bryna actually wanted to ask her grandfather to translate the poem.
Mm.
And so this is the one poem in the seven installations that's actually bilingual.
Would you mind reading a little bit of that
sure.
one also for folks who are
yeah.
listening?
Seattle's Little Saigon. Fresh bun baking, refrigerator hums. Red stripes through yellow, old and proud, the iconic Nan La. Jackson and 12th Street trails, swinging doors, gif savory winds, bowls of soup warming you with just a scent, markets of clamor of every color, a chorus of languages, histories near and far, fruits, greens, mints, a whole aisle of spices, items the same or at least similar, create the table into a home. We dream of walking between storefronts, connected paths, friends of Little Saigon, to me la se, no division of wide blocks, spaced concrete, centers and parks filled across generations.
I can hear the specificity that you're talking about. It's very evocative of a place. You hear about spices on a table. I mean, it's,
yeah.
You close your eyes and you can put yourself there.
You can smell it.
Yeah, you can smell it.
And hear it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Xinyu Pai, I know you're in the middle of your second year as Seattle Civic Poet.
Mm-hmm.
What have you learned so far, and what are you hoping to achieve in the final, you know, in the final year here?
I've learned that a lot of people write poetry, but they might not share it. And I think that was apparent from the call for entries, the variety of people that I got submissions from who weren't like poets with MFAs and books. They were people straight from the community. Some of them, like, with a very, like, professional profile, but I never would have known that they, like, wrote poetry. Like, I got a submission from somebody at the classical music station. I was like, what? They write poetry? So there is a passion for poetry, and I think a desire to see it in public spaces in unexpected ways. And so that makes me really happy that more people are writing poetry than I actually knew. And there are many voices to be discovered.
And I imagine you want to see more of that. Like, people who have a passion for this stuff, they don't necessarily have the resume, you know, that makes them feel confident in these spaces. But I imagine that you would love to have more of those types of interactions and submissions from people who are new to this, or they've been doing it for a long time, they just haven't shared it.
Yeah, I hope a campaign like this encourages people to just be daring in their creativity and to just write and share their work, and you never know what's going to happen.
Daring in their creativity. It's so hard to do that. It is so hard. For those of us who are, you know, we maybe feel self-conscious about, you know, entering these spaces. And I love that you are welcoming people to be daring about that.
So, yeah. Creativity is for everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's next for you? I know we talked a little before the mics were on, and I heard that you're going to be writing potentially some lyrics. Anything you want to share?
So let's see. In November, I'm going to be doing a program at Octave 9 at Seattle Symphony with Degenerate Art Ensemble, who are this really wonderful performance art group that are internationally known. And they do like Buteau and movement and punk rock music and video projection, and their stuff is just wild and crazy and wonderful. We've talked about putting together some kind of performance that will include music and voice and poetry, and I might be writing some song lyrics as well, which is something that's new for me and is kind of exciting. Yeah.
I've heard that a good piece of advice is to be daring in your creativity, Shinyi.
I'll give it a try. Yeah.
Shinyi Pai is the host of KOW's 10,000 Things podcast, and she is also the Seattle Civic Poet. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Libby.
That was my conversation with Seattle Civic Poet Shinyi Pai. We'll put information on where the poems are across the city on our website, KUOW.org. And Shinyi Pai is also the host of KUOW's 10,000 Things podcast, which returns on April 30th. And you can find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Thanks for listening to Soundside. And hey, this show is only possible because listeners support us. If you are able to give right now, check out the show notes for a link to donate. And don't forget, you can listen live on KUOW 94.9 FM Seattle at noon and 8 p.m. Monday through Thursday, or anytime online at KUOW.org.
Seattle in the 90s. A tidal wave of iconic music roars out of this sleepy city and launches a pop culture revolution. Here's a story you haven't heard. Let the Kids Dance is a new podcast about the rise and fall of Seattle's teen dance ordinance, the law that made it illegal for young people to go to concerts. A story of moral panic, grassroots activism, and an unstoppable music community that fought for its freedom. Listen to Let the Kids Dance from KUOW and the NPR Network.